Two out of three within 3 years are going to repeat, offend, and go right back into the prison system. So it's a huge growing problem. In fact, I read not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, the Washington Post mentioned now there are more prisons in America than there are colleges and universities. It's just, you know, the answer is not more prisons. It's not locking up people and throwing the key away. It's not even the death penalty, as studies have shown that this is not effectively deterring crime. The answer is the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that can set them free from the bondage of sin and death. Prisoners need regeneration, not rehabilitation. And Jesus has commissioned us as followers to reach beyond the barbed wire fences and steel bars to touch the lives of men and women bound by the shackles of sin. Now, God has given us, the church, the body of Christ, the message of hope and salvation. And we call it the good news of the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is the cure for sin. So churches need to be a healing community, showing the grace and mercy of God. And that's my, I'll see if the slides are working here. I'm clicking. Yep, perfect. So your theme is reaching out, and I love that you're going through a series of learning how to reach out into the community. And the church, too often, though, shoots its wounded, don't they? They don't show grace and mercy to people. And so what we want to do is show and become a loving, caring community, a healing community, that we have the grace of God that will is the answer to the problem of sin. And so churches may have many families that are in prison, and maybe they have friends that are incarcerated. And we need to reach out to them in prison and those that are families that are affected by it. Because when you get someone going into prison, they're not the only ones serving a sentence. Their wives or the families and the children are also having a very difficult time. So I don't know if anybody here has any friends or family in prison. I was going to ask you to raise your hand in just a minute, but I'd have to raise my hand, or maybe two hands. I visited my nephew in prison in Australia. I visited my uncle in the Minneapolis County Workhouse prison. I had a brother-in-law up in the federal camp up in prison in Duluth. I have a cousin that's gone in and out of prison constantly. So, it's a lot of times people don't want to admit those kinds of things, but as a church body, we need to be able to work together and help each other. So I don't know, does anybody have any friends or relatives or anybody in prison? Okay, good. I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, I just pray for those in this congregation, Lord, that have friends or family that are incarcerated, that are going through a difficult time right now, and I pray that you would use this time to draw them close to you, and use this time to gather their family together and draw closer to you, and if they don't know Christ as their Savior, that they would put their faith and trust in you, Lord, and make a difference and transform their life and their family's lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to share with you what is the biblical basis for prison ministry this morning. And the principle number one, and if you've got the bulletin, there's an outline in there so you can follow right along. Principle one is redemption. All things are redeemable through Christ. He can bring spiritual healing and new life. Crime is fundamentally a moral problem, and it's a result of man's rebellion against God. It's secondarily a socioeconomic problem, and the solution is the person of Jesus Christ. And a couple of verses there for you to look at. Romans 3:23, which you're probably familiar with, and then verse 24 as well. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." And then Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then Colossians 1:13-14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And due to the shortness of time here, I don't have time to read all of Psalm 107 there, but the verses are on that sheet. But if you want to read that, it tells how God sets us free from the bondage of sin and the prison of sin. Now, prison ministry needs to include a presentation of the gospel and emphasis on the role of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And no one is ever beyond redemption. We don't give up on people, even when it seems that they will never change. Instead, we need to pursue and continue to encourage to bring them the gospel of the grace of God. And I'd like to share with you a powerful illustration that illustrates what Christ has done for us on the cross. And so I've got a piece of paper here, and I just want to list out some of the things that crimes or things that people commit that end up why they go to prison. So if you guys can just name a few things. Murder, okay? Theft.
Abuse.
Pardon? Fraud. Yep. Anything else? I'm trying to fill up this page.
Drugs.
80% of the people in prison usually have some kind of addiction, and that's why they're in there. Any other?
Alcohol.
Anything else?
Rebellion.
Okay, I think I've got page filled up. So, I wrote down this list. Now what Jesus did in Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So all of these sins that you and I commit, we have not committed all of these, but with God, a sin is a sin, whether you've actually murdered a person or you've thought about murdering a person. You know what you're thinking, you might be just as guilty. So there's the sins, and when God sent Jesus to die for us, he laid on him, the Bible says, in all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so that was transferred to us. And so what Jesus did on the cross is he took those things, and I just want to illustrate what happened when he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. That's called flash paper. It burns at such a high temperature, it just turns to gas. So when Jesus took our sins on the cross, he completely obliterated them. They are all completely taken care of. He paid the penalty for them, so it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've gone, God can forgive you, and that's the power of the gospel. So no one is beyond redemption. Jesus paid a tremendous price for us to be able to give that cure for sin to everyone. And doesn't it make sense? It makes sense to me that you would go to the highest concentration of sin, just like if you had the cure for cancer, you go to a cancer ward to give them that cure. Shouldn't we be going into the prisons and the jails and giving them the gospel of the grace of God? And so that is just an awesome thing. Now, maybe you were here today and maybe you're still in sin. And that list of sins that I had there, you can be redeemed. You can be forgiven today by asking Christ to forgive you and to cleanse you from all your sin. And you will be born into his forever family. And you can see me or one of the church leaders here, and we can pray with you after this service and explain to you more from the Bible how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And if you do know the Lord, I want to encourage you to polish up your testimony so you can share with other people. And just recently, our family had a family get-together at our house over the 4th of July. I've got four kids, and actually, if you want to pick up our prayer card on the back table there, you can see my son Kyle, his wife Betty. We have three grandkids. And Betty's brother from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, was visiting over the 4th of July. And so we were talking with Gary, and a few of us shared our testimonies with him. He was talking about, you know, Christianity, and he had been starting to go to a Bible study, but he wasn't really clear in understanding how you could go to heaven and what it really meant and what it meant. And so we had the joy of sharing the gospel with him and taking the Bible. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the Revived Twin Cities put out a Bible, Kyle Martin, where it has thumb tabs for all the verses and they're highlighted. So it's really easy to share the gospel and have them read the verses and ask them what that verse means to them. And so we did that with Gary, and he went through all of those verses, and he prayed and accepted Christ. And it's so cool because, you know, the 4th of July now is his spiritual birthday. And I told him, tonight they're going to have fireworks and everything. It's going to be, they're throwing a big party for you, the angels in heaven, because you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So I want to encourage you, as you're doing this outreach series, the opportunities that you have to share your testimony, that's the most powerful witnessing tool that you have. And as we go into prisons and talk to people in there, sharing what God has done in our life, that he can do the same thing in their life. So we all need to be redeemed. We all deserve hell. In fact, there's a book someone wrote that's, we're all criminals. I mean, so we're all in the same boat. We need the Lord Jesus to redeem us. The second principle on the basis of prison ministry is the principle of service. The body of Christ is called to minister to those who are imprisoned or oppressed. Unlike any other organization or ministry, the church has been ordained to be God's instrument of grace and mercy to this world. The act of serving prisoners and ex-prisoners and their families in the name of Jesus is both a ministry and a means of worship and spiritual growth. Can you have a true church and not have a prison ministry if you have a jail or prison in your nearby area? Satan is working to trap people in sin. It's our job to bring them the good news that can get them free from the bondage of sin and death. We as God's people have the key to set the people free. It's not necessarily setting them free from a physical prison, but the spiritual prisons of their minds, their depression, their fear, their drugs, and so many things that people have trapped in. And we've got to get people out of the pews and out visiting the lost that they know. And some of them are in the local jail and prison. 2 Corinthians 5:20, which is another key verse here, Paul says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." See, God needs an ambassador in every local jail and prison, people that can come in there and represent him and be his spokesman. He's chosen us to be his ambassadors. This church is an embassy for your neighborhood and this community, and I'm praying that God will continue to use you and reach your community right here in Apple Valley. And maybe God is calling you to be involved in prison ministry in some way. Hebrews 13:3 is another good verse. It says, "Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering." And then another passage is Matthew 25, and I'd like to read, starting with verse 40, Matthew 25, 40. "And the king will reply, 'I will tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' And then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you were cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' And they will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?' And he will reply, 'I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me.' And then they went away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." So when we visit prison, it's like visiting and showing our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. How much do we love Jesus? Are we willing enough to go and visit him in prison? Is Jesus waiting in a nearby prison or jail? Who will visit him this week? So think about this. If we have the cure for sin, you know, we need to go there and share God's love with them. So it's my hope today to stir the Holy Spirit's work in your hearts and in your lives of how you can get involved, and that the body of Christ has an opportunity here that's incredible to reach people with the gospel that really, really need to hear the good news of the gospel. And their whole family has been wrecked by sin and hurt, and that whole family can be transformed and renewed. And one application, a practical point for this on service, is you might have picked up a card as you came in. It's called a Keep Five card. So in application for your personal life, I would encourage you to think about five people you know that do not know Christ. They could be friends, families, it could be the neighbors, and you maybe don't know their name. Maybe you know there's the guy across the street or the lady next door, or someone that you buy gas from, or you know, where you go at the grocery store, put them down and then get to know their name, get to know who they are, get to be friends with them, and maybe serve them, show God's love to them, and connect. Ministry throws through relationships. So start building connections and relationships with those people. So, you know, if you're shopping, maybe it means in the grocery store, you're always going to go in that line, even if it's a little longer. I usually go to the shortest line. But I mean, if you want to build a relationship with someone, you know, continue to build up and talk with those people and pray every day and keep it in your Bible or keep it on the fridge, whichever you open the most, you know, and pray for them every day. Or you can get two cards. I have extra cards. You can have one in your Bible and one on your fridge as well. But I want to encourage you to pray for them. Look for ways that you can show God's love for them. And I think I'm behind on the slides here. All right. I get caught up. Okay. So we have the principle of redemption. We have the principle of service. And next is the principle of transformation. By our faith, we bring glory to God on earth and communities are transformed. Prison ministry is a powerful testimony to the world of the transforming power and love of Christ. When you think about it, for a murderer to be transformed and turned around to bring glory and honor to God and to serve God, you know, that is a miracle. That is amazing. And it brings God glory. The community as a whole experiences transformation as the church reaches out to those affected by crime and demonstrates the mercy and grace of Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then Ephesians 4, 14 to 16, it says, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then verses 22 to 24, Paul says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we see this transformation from the old self. And in Corinthians 5:17, it says, for the old things are passed away and all things have become new. You've become a new creation in Christ. And that's the wonderful, powerful thing of the gospel. And throughout the Bible, there's examples and descriptions about prisons and prisoners and bondage and captivity and slavery. And in fact, the Bible mentions prison and prisoners and imprisonment more than 130 times. So God wants to work in transforming men and women for his glory. And what better example can you think of than the power of God that changed someone who, like in the New Testament, Saul, who was persecuting the Christians and even helped murder Christians. I can't imagine that. And then he became the Apostle Paul, who now has planted churches and helped write most of the New Testament and served in prison himself for his faith in Christ. And there are more out there like Saul who can be turned around by the power of the gospel. And I believe actually that God is going to raise up many people out of prison. There's a revival that's going to come to this country through the prison ministries. There, people will get so excited about the Lord to become a pastor, missionary, church planters from within the prisons. And our goal is to plant churches behind bars. It's such a spiritual, fertile harvest field. And PMA provides free Bible correspondence courses all across the country. And it got started back in 1955. A guy named Joel Mason down in Texas was visiting some prisons and jails. And a lot of times, those guys weren't there the next week. Where did they go? Oh, they were transferred to Florida or the Tennessee or Texas or whatever, you know, different prisons. And so he decided, well, I need to follow up and mentor these people. So he developed a Bible correspondence course to continue to disciple it and mentor them. So wherever the mail goes, we can go. Because sometimes even it's hard to get into some prisons. And so this is our opportunity. And I'd like to share with you what I call the greenhouse effect through the ministry of PMA.
I've been in this greenhouse because I wanted to illustrate
inmates for Christ. And we do this through our free life-changing Bible correspondence courses, which we send out to all 50 states. We have over 32,000 students right now, and they get to open up their Bibles and study God's Word and hear about how much God loves them, cares for them, and principles that will teach them to make the right choices in their lives. And so they can get college credit for doing this course. When people get sent to jail or prison, it's like a timeout, and God can work in their hearts. There's no distractions of internet, cell phones, things like that. They can think about what they're doing with their life, and they're looking for purpose and meaning to life. And it's like a spiritual incubator or greenhouse where they can actually study the Bible in a concentrated way and really grow and become all that God wants them to be. And so we're developing leadership from within the prisons that would help plant churches behind bars. So we are excited about this new approach because we'll be able to expand and reach many more prisoners for the glory of God. A lot of people have mixed feelings and maybe don't want to write a check to help support a criminal or a rapist or a murderer or maybe go in and visit them. But, you know, Jesus in God's Word, he went out to the downcast, the down and out, the prostitutes, the people that people didn't want to associate with. And so as we follow God's word, we are to be his ambassadors and share the love of God with people. And only God could transform a murderer or rapist into a loving, caring, God-fearing Christ follower. And so it's an amazing ministry that you can be a part of through your prayers and through your support. At Prison Mission Association, there's several steps that you can take to be part of our team. And we want to encourage you, first of all, to pray. More than anything, we need your prayer and support. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. And if you're interested, please sign up to get our prayer updates. And I have a guide on how to pray for inmates. We can encourage you to do that and to participate through your prayer support. And that's the number one thing that we need. The second way is you can volunteer. We need volunteers that will help correct lessons, to help in the home office, to mail out, and we need churches that will go and visit their nearby jails and prisons and help distribute these lessons. And then the third way is you can donate. You can help us with the resources. We've had 12,000 new students in the last 3 years. The increased costs of printing, the postage, and all those things, we need the resources. And so your partnership as a financial partner would be much appreciated.
Downbeat for being in prison for something I didn't do. It just ripped the innards out of me. I just went dead inside. And the place I was in was probably the most miserable place I've ever been in. After about a year into the ministry program, I started losing a lot of the hate for what was done to me. It just helped me deal with everything in an honest, good way inside. Other prisoners in there, but most of them don't have family support. They don't have anything to look forward to in their lives. Once they get involved in the Bible and start opening their hearts and understanding, then they have hope and faith in being able to move forward in their lives.
So we want to thank you for investing in this ministry, because just like as a greenhouse, you see these beautiful plants with that concentrated growth. God is going to raise up pastors, missionaries, church planters out of prisons to continue to do the work of the Lord. I'd like to illustrate, too, one other illustration I have is the impact of these lessons on the inmates' lives. And I don't know if anybody here likes coloring in. I brought with me my Life Transformation by the Gospel coloring in book. And most inmates, and maybe people in general, do not know the meaning of life or understanding their purpose, or they don't really know how much God loves them, how much God cares for them. So in this coloring in book, it's a little unusual. If you look at, I don't know if you can see, but there's nothing much to color in. It's blank. And so we have these lessons, and I have them on my back table there. If you want to pick up the short introductory lesson. This is what we send out. So we mail that out, and they take their Bible, and they get to read who Jesus is and the problem of sin and the solution and the answer through Jesus Christ. So once they get to read the Bible, they start studying it, you know, then it starts to make sense. And then you can see the outlines start to appear, and they can understand God's purpose, that God loves them, that he cares about them. And then we want it to move from their head knowledge to their heart, where they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And so when that happens, then you can see in the book here, it's full color. They fully understood what God has done for them, and they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and they're transformed. So it's a big step to move from no purpose and meaning to life to knowing Christ and all that he has for them. And God can use this in a powerful way. And so we encourage not only the inmate to study the Bible, but their spouse. And we partner with the Mailbox Club. Mailbox Club, you maybe have heard of it. It's not a prison ministry, it's a children's ministry. They provide free full-color Bible studies for kids ages 4 to 18. So we've got hundreds and hundreds of children that we've signed up and enrolled that are studying God's Word, which is really awesome. And so we appreciate your prayers. And I really believe that this is the God-ordained way of ministry is the local church. And we're to plant seeds and to plant churches. And our goal is to plant churches behind bars through the PMA Bible lessons, as developing the inmates from within prison so that they can reach inmates for Christ and develop the leadership from within. And I want to thank all of those that are involved with this. We've got a number of prisons that we're working with on this. Our best situation right now is in Faribault Prison. It's the largest prison in Minnesota, 2,500 inmates there. And we've got 11 of our students, 11 key core people that want to be the core group of planting this church. And I'm involved at Bethesda Church in Prior Lake, and we have an elder there. Well, actually, he was an elder. Right now, he's not an elder, but he's a great Bible teacher, Vern Hendrickson. And he's willing to begin and help pastor and form that nucleus of the core group of planting that church down in Faribault. So we appreciate your prayers on that. Another thing that God opened up the door is local radio station. I don't know if you've heard of AM 980, The Mission, KKMS. Gary Borgendale called me about a year ago. It was last May, actually, last year. And he said, would I be willing to be on the radio? And I'm really busy. I've got a lot going on. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And then I talked to Jim Moore, who's the director of the R3 Collaborative. I don't know if you've heard of that, but there's about 1,000 members and organizations that help people coming out of prison. It's called the R3 Collaborative, and Jim Moore is the director of that. And I talked to him, and we prayed about it, and so I asked him to be my co-host. He's got a really good radio voice. So we co-host the radio show. It's on every Saturday at 1 p.m., or you can listen to the podcast at any time. It's just am980themission.com. And so I appreciate your prayers for this, and it's just been really opening more doors as I've been praying about ways to reach out and let people know what God's doing behind bars. And we're going to actually be live on July 30th. It's a Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're going to do the drive time show, a call-in show, so which is going to be kind of cool. So let me go to the next slide. So pray for our team. And as you sign up to be our prayer partners, I'm giving away books. It's called The 12 Seeds for Successful Relationships. You're welcome to have a book if you sign up to pray for us on the back table there. And that was my prayer card right there. But opportunities are you can become a prayer partner. You can volunteer to serve as a lesson corrector, help correcting the lessons. You can maybe get involved. If you want to start a prison ministry, I'd love to help this church. If you want to get involved and visit the prisons, there's Shakopee Prison, and there's all different kinds that are nearby here that you could go to. And we do transition fairs. My next one is going to be Lino Lakes. It's going to be July 30th. I'll be at the Lino Lakes Prison. We're there all day. I set up a table like that and ask the inmates if they want to study the Bible. We can give them a Bible, and then we give them the Bible study. And usually I have between 60 to, actually I've had over 200 at the Shakopee sign up for our lessons, so it's pretty awesome. So as I'm closing, I want you to think about.
Yeah, we're out here at the lake, and Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes, and a lot of people love to fish. And what I wanted to do is Jesus loved to use illustrations. And he used illustrations about, as you follow me, I will make you fishers of men.
there's more prisons and jails now in the USA than there are colleges and universities. And so why not turn that around and use this as an opportunity through Prison Mission Association? We provide free, life-changing Bible correspondence courses, and we can transform those lives in the prison so when they come out of prison, they're going to be following Christ and make the right choices.
And I've listed on the back of your handout there the 10 reasons why it's the best place to go fishing for men and women. And so I want to thank you for the opportunity to share with you and just consider to pray about how you could be involved, whether to pray, be a prayer partner, to volunteer, or maybe support us financially. I'll just close in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for this time and this opportunity to share what you're doing in the prisons. Thank you for the changed lives. Thank you for the testimonial of Bob in that video and how his wife encouraged him to do our lessons and how his life was transformed. And now he has the joy of the Lord after being so angry at you that his whole life and his family has been transformed. And I pray for many more lives to be changed by the power of the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.